Joining us now from the Golf Channel, Charlie Reimer. Charlie, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so Mike's going to get right into it. What do you got?
Well, I mean, coming up here in a week from Saturday, you're going to be in Fort Mill having a little breakfast and to help raise money for the Fort Mill Golf Program. Now, is this about your benevolence and interest in golf and the growth of the game, or is it about pancakes and bacon?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both, and we promised sausage biscuits. I'm not much of a pancake guy, but I do like a sausage biscuit, a little Tennessee fried hot sauce. You got to put a little mustard on there. You guys know that, right?
Absolutely.
So it's a little bit about the breakfast, but, really, it's something I'm very much looking forward to. A former teammate of mine there at Fort Mill High School, his name is Lawton Sherman. We won state championships together, and businessman. He's had offices in Charlotte and also up in Manhattan, and we've just maintained our friendship over the years. And I called him up a few months ago after talking to the coach, the current golf coach there at Fort Mill High School, and I said, "Well, can you believe the budget for the entire year is $750 for the golf team?" And we got to reminiscing a little bit, and we just had. Great folks, first and foremost, around us, including our coach there at the time, Coach Eddie Weldon. And it's a great, great golf community and the support of the folks there at Springs with the Fort Mill Golf Course. And I said, "Lawton, let's try and do a little something and try and help both the boys and the girls programs there at Fort Mill." And Lawton's like, "I'll just write a check." I said, no, Lawton. I said, "We need to go up there and hang out and see everybody." So we're looking forward to getting to Fort Mill. We're hoping some folks will show up and we'll tell some stories and have a little bit of fun, get everybody ready for the Open, which will be on NBC and Golf Channel later that day as well. So not much later. You know, it was later in the morning. But really looking forward to getting back and seeing the Fort Mill Golf Course and hopefully some friendly and familiar faces.
All right, so when folks show up on July 16th at 7 a.m. at Fort Mill Golf Club for the Charlie Reimer breakfast, it's more than just watching you eat sausage biscuits, right?
Well, that's going to be a big part of it.
That's the draw.
I'm promising a clinic. Everybody thinks it's golf, but it's a breakfast clinic. It's how to tackle a buffet is what we're going to do right there. We'll have a little breakfast, but just tell some stories and reminisce a little bit. Now, and take some questions, too, because if a question comes in and I don't know the answer, I'm fully qualified to make something up. And the best thing about that is folks will never know the difference.
Well, if our listeners haven't gone out and gotten the details, they can go to your GoFundMe page, which is GoFundMe.com/Charlie-Reimer. But speaking of questions, I think Mark's going to hit you with a difficult question first right now.
You mentioned the Open Championship, and earlier we had a question about who our picks were. We're not going to reveal those because we don't want to sway you in any way whatsoever. So, you know, Dustin Johnson is kind of the hot guy lately. He's won his back-to-back starts. We've kind of seen this. We've seen Rory get hot and win a bunch. We've seen Spieth get hot and win a bunch. We've seen Jason Day do it. Is this the Dustin Johnson time to get hot and make a run?
Well, you know, we also saw Adam Scott in the Florida Swing win back-to-back events. So it really is easy to say, here's a guy who's hot. And he's going to go on this unbelievable streak like Tiger did for 10 straight years. But the reality is that I see it from my position in golf. I see talented players get on hot streaks, and they only last so long. They'll come off of that streak a little bit. And Dustin Johnson obviously is a great player, phenomenal, tremendous talent. But he ain't going to win every tournament he ever plays in again. I can promise you that. And while it wouldn't surprise me to see him play well, At the Open, at the same time, at some point he's going to start cooling down. And it's a quirky golf course, Troon is. I've only had a chance to play it one time. There's a lot of blind tee shots. There's a lot of fairways that they sort of run either laterally from left to right or right to left. There's a lot of little funny pitches in them and that sort of stuff. And there's not really, certainly not holes out of bounds on right and left. There's some perimeter out of bounds there, but it's an odd golf course. It's an ancient links that's been there over two centuries now. So, or it was built two centuries ago, And Dustin wouldn't be my number one pick right now, just because he's got to cool off at some point.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing is, you know, we've seen Jordan Spieth, you know, he can win. He's won a couple times, but we've seen him basically implode at the Masters. We've seen Rory McIlroy win, and then we see him implode over this past weekend. We've seen Jason Day win, and we've seen him implode over this past weekend. We know golf's hard, but why do we see these top guys, these top five guys, getting the leads in golf tournaments and imploding? I mean, are we just that spoiled from Tiger Woods that we expect these guys to seal the deal every time they get the lead?
You hit the nail on the head. Tiger Woods, we saw 10 years of the greatest golf that's ever been played in a time period like that. And you just have to look at Tiger, at the record. I'm not talking about the wins. He only missed, I think I got this right, 15 cuts in his entire career. 15 cuts in his career. That, to me, is almost as impressive as his 14 major titles. He played so well for so long at such a high level, it absolutely spoiled us. So when you see a player get hot, you know, we automatically assume, well, this is the next Tiger. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't no next Tiger. It just is not going to happen.
Amen to that, Charlie. It's going to take more than one person to replace what he did for us over that decade of being spoiled.
Exactly right.
Well, we're talking to Charlie Reimer from the Golf Channel, and you know, we're talking a little bit about the Open, and in this year we come back, the Ryder Cup's on U.S. soil. Looking at these two teams, and again, Mark and I debate this fairly often, you look at these two teams, the European team looks young, green, and raw. The American team, as it's shaping up, looks strong, weathered, experienced by comparison. Can we actually go ahead and say that the U.S. is favored at this point?
Well, I can tell you that's what the Europeans said. They've been playing this underdog deal, you know, all these years. I thought Coach Holtz had that cornered, you know. it's going to be interesting. There's going to be certainly some names that are unfamiliar to fans. There's some new blood coming in, and the Ryder Cup is it's been amazing to watch the event. It really, really evolved, become competitive to the point that blood and heart feelings and at one point I wasn't sure that the players were maybe buying in 100%. Make no mistake about it. The players are all bought in 100%, at least 100%. So it's something that now has gone from sort of a celebration of golf to truly a fierce competition. I think we're going to see that continue obviously this year. It's full contact golf. There's no doubt about that. And the captains on both sides will leave no stones unturned to try and find the smallest little advantages they can find wherever they can find them. It's something that draws a lot of eyeballs, and it's driven by passion. I think even if you take someone who never watches golf, if you sort of get them tuned into the Ryder Cup and get fired up, you know, over the way that it's sort of presented, and they can really buy into it and think, hey, you know what, this is pretty cool. This golf thing is pretty cool. And for me, that's the best part about the Ryder Cup, that I think it has a tremendous opportunity to draw in not only sports fans that don't typically watch golf, but maybe even some fans outside of sport that typically just watch Super Bowls and national championship games and that sort of stuff.
Well, I mean, the buy-in and the passion is undeniable, but at least in recent history, it seems the Euros have an edge in chemistry. The team seem to sort of like each other more than we did, and between the task force and everything else. I mean, you can't create chemistry, but is this team, as you see it shaping up, one that can overcome the chemistry of a European team?
Well, they're certainly going to be given their full effort. And let's talk about that chemistry for just a minute. The European, the reason that the European team, I think, has maybe more unity and a little bit stronger chemistry, you look at it, the top European players, by and large, came up on the European tour, and this is all in the last 10 years or so. And as soon as they became stars, they basically all moved to the U.S. Right, and so you got guys living in the U.S. playing the U.S. tour full time. They might go and play Some events on their home tour, technically they're supposed to play, 12 events on the PGA Tour, but there's so many co-sanctioned events. They might only go play, you know, in continental Europe, maybe three or four events. That's it. And they're basically asked one thing. Every 2 years, and again, U.S. guys have President's Cup, which is another international competition. They get asked to play every year. But the European guys are asked to play every 2 years, and they're asked to just totally check your ego and show up and give it 100% in this team concept. And I think a lot of these guys, you know, feel so obligated to the tour because the European tour, they basically have abandoned it to come to a new tour that they've just been so highly motivated and no ego, because it's their chance to go and pay back the tour that allowed them to become these stars. And by and large, you don't have that strong a feeling with the U.S. players because, U.S. players and most fans will understand this. They're not playing for the PGA Tour. They're playing for a PGA of America, which is a different organization than the PGA Tour. And one of the things that's going on with this task force is it's creating a relationship with the U.S. players and the PGA of America that quite honestly hasn't existed and been as strong as it could over these last 10 years. So that's one of the things that's going on right now, that's even getting a tighter knit group and a stronger buy-in for the U.S. players with the PGA of America.
All right, Charlie, I got to ask you, have so much fun on the Golf Channel. Did you ever picture back in the days when you're grinding it out week in and week out on the tour that you'd be having this much fun doing TV?
Listen, they didn't have TV. TV didn't exist, you know, hardly back then. Yeah, you get like, yeah, it's black and white, you know, you get like the last three holes on Saturday and Sunday. I've got an amazing opportunity. I love what I do. I work for a great company with great people and on a really cool show. This was plan B for me. And when I was a kid grinding it out, playing golf at Fort Mill and Tiga K, you know, I had big dreams. It wasn't a being on television, you know, talking about it. I wanted to be the guy hitting the shots. I was just so fortunate early on to become friends, in particular with some of the guys on the CBS broadcast crew, the producer for CBS Sports, Lance Barrow, who's a legend in the business, and Gary McCord and Peter Costas and Bill McAtee. I just got to be friends with some of those guys and not for the intention of getting into TV. I just enjoyed watching what they did. And would go in after playing rounds of golf and sometimes, you know, sit in a production truck and watch the show. Sometimes I'd maybe go on a tower with one of the guys and it wasn't anything that I did because I thought, hey, I'm going to be in TV. It was just, you know, there's a lot of dead time when you're a tour player. And I was just fascinated by it. And when my game left me, Gary McCord is actually the one that said, hey, you know, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go get a real job. He says, no, don't get a real job. You need to do TV. And I said, Gary, I'm not qualified to do TV. And he looked at me dead square in the eye. This is actually in Columbia, South Carolina. We were doing an outing there. He says, Charlie, you are an idiot. That qualifies you to do television. Do you want me to get you some auditions or not? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. So he made a few calls, and gosh, that was a little over 18 years ago. So very grateful for Gary McCord there at CBS to sort of get me down what was plan B. And I guess after 18 years, you could maybe almost officially call it a career, I guess.
All right. Well, Charlie, we really appreciate you coming on. And, man, we love watching you on the show.
Well, I certainly appreciate the opportunity. I love the Carolinas and can't wait to get back up there next Saturday to see some of the folks and see that Fort Mill golf course.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on.
Great. Thank you.